dear friends, hi, my name is Frodo Williams, and I'm the owner of Frodo's Frozen Yogurt Shop at 123 Birch Avenue. I'm writing to thank you for entering the drawing for our Mountainside Sundae for four. Unfortunately, you didn't win the grand prize. That was won by Jane Smith, and did Jane and her family ever have a great time digging in? But I'm happy to tell you that you did win our consolation prize. The next time you drop by Frodo's, just bring in this letter along with the envelope. I'll be happy to give you a free medium-sized frozen yogurt with the topping of your choice. We always have at least 12 different flavors of frozen yogurt and over 20 different toppings. So drop by any time for your free frozen yogurt and topping. Thanks again for joining in the fun of our contest. I'll look forward to seeing you real soon. Sincerely, Frodo Williams, owner. Do you see how powerful this concept is? By using a simple contest, you can create a steady stream of ongoing paying customers. Run a contest every month, and you could easily double your customer base in very short time. Here again is more proof that you don't need to invest big money to generate handsome profits. 5. Testing, the secret to making your business as profitable as possible. Throughout this course, I've repeatedly emphasized the importance of testing to maximize the return on your marketing dollar. And it bears repeating again. It's this simple. Smart, successful companies always test. Foolish, unsuccessful companies fail to test. There are two major excuses I hear from clients who are resistant to testing. The first is, we're already profitable. That's great, but how will you ever know what the upper limits of your profitability are if you don't test? The second excuse is, we already know how to reach our market. That type of closed-mindedness is particularly limiting. Markets are dynamic. They are constantly shifting and changing. Plus, new marketing techniques come along every month. To remain static and stubbornly refuse to test is a guaranteed way of limiting your sales and profits. Okay, so let's say that you're a forward-thinking person with a keen eye for profit. Here's a quick review of the essentials of testing. Test only those elements that could have a significant impact on your results. The most critical elements of an ad that should be tested are 1. Headline, 2. Price, 3. Offer, 4. Copy. You also need to carefully test the mailing list you use and the media you advertise in. The day of week or month of year when you advertise can also be important elements to test. Test only one element at a time. If you change your headline and your price, you won't know which element is responsible for your change in results. Key every ad, sales letter, press release, or promotion that you use. Add an extra character to your suite number for each different test. Suite 300A and Suite 300B. Keys allow you to accurately track and compile the results of each test. They also provide you with a means of identifying which lists or which media are working best for you. Never replace your control, which is your best producing ad or sales letter, with anything else unless the new piece proves conclusively that it will get better results. If you do replace your control, test the old control again a year or two later. Often, a slight update to an old control can result in significant profit. Test as prudently and inexpensively as possible. Run as small an ad as possible the fewest number of times, or mail the fewest pieces as you possibly can while still allowing for conclusive results. Conventional wisdom says that 2,500 pieces is the fewest you can mail for a mathematically correct test. I disagree. I've tested as few as 10 pieces for a lead-generating letter and as few as 500 for a letter to make a direct sale with excellent results. The number you mail really depends on your business, how qualified your prospects are, and whether you're looking for leads or sales. However many pieces you mail or how many places you choose to run your ad, the objective is the same. You want to conduct as small a test as possible to determine whether you sink or swim. Here's my surefire method for maximum results testing. 1. Run a small, inexpensive test. 2. If your first test is successful, run a second test. Your second test should be no larger than 5 times the size of your first test. 3. If the second test is successful, test a third time. Again, your third test should be no larger than 5 times the size of your second test. 4. If your first 3 tests are successful, you have a powerful marketing piece you can roll out on a major scale. One last thing about testing. A few minutes ago, I told you what a control is. What I want to add to that is that there is no such thing as a permanent control. Regardless of how successful your control is, you should always be changing and testing different elements of the control, or testing other ads or sales letters against your control. 6. Your market is the ultimate decision maker as to what really works. This is actually a follow-up to the prior point. The only way you'll ever know for certain what works is to put it out there and see how the market responds. Of course, you should try to understand your market as well as possible and tailor your products, services, and marketing to your customers. But even when you do, your best educated guess can be wrong. If possible, try to contact a few of your prospects who didn't respond. Find out why. Then, take that information and change your products or marketing accordingly. Here's an example to illustrate what I mean. A client of mine recently asked me to help him market a brain teaser puzzle. He showed me his classified ad, said it was a dismal failure, and asked me to write a different ad. I declined, telling him that his market was sending him a distinct message. Since his ad wasn't all that bad, the market was telling him either, 1, they weren't interested in his product, or 2, they wouldn't buy from a one-step classified ad. My bet was that he had to actually show the customers what they would be getting and give them an upbeat, compelling reason to buy. I recommended that he try a 2-step campaign. The client declined my advice and hired an ad agency to create a new classified ad for him. Last I heard, he was out the fat fee he'd paid for the new ad and still wasn't selling very many puzzles. Remember, the market never lies about what it will respond to. 7. How an inexpensive bonus item can contribute heavily to your bottom line. Clients are continually asking me what they can do to improve the response to their ads or sales letters. Well, one of the best things you can do to sharply increase your response is offer a bonus item. Here's why bonuses work so well. Human nature is funny. People love to get something extra. Often a bonus, especially if you offer it for free and for a limited time, will sweeten the pot just enough to get your prospects to take action. To make it even more effective, offer your product with a strong guarantee and a free bonus. Tell your customers that even if they ask for a refund, the bonus is theirs to keep. This approach gives you a couple of powerful advantages. First, it offers a very attractive sweetener as an incentive to order. Also, it implies that your product or service must be of exceptional quality. Why would you make such an attractive offer if you didn't have complete faith in the quality of your product? Even if you do get a few more requests for refunds, the increased sales will more than make up for the difference. If you want to boost your sales and profits quickly, try offering a bonus item. One last thing. The bonus item you offer must have a strong perceived value to your customers. Coupons for discounts off future purchases work well. My favorite bonus item, though, is a printed report. Perceived value is high, but your actual costs are quite low. 12 great crockpot recipes, 8 ways to cut your taxes today, and 6 steps for protecting your home from theft are all examples of simple, inexpensive reports that would have strong appeal to specific markets. 8. the fastest, easiest profits around can be found at the point of sale. Would you like to increase your sales by 5% to 30% with almost no effort or investment? Who in their right mind wouldn't? What I'm about to show you has to be the fastest, easiest way of increasing your profits you could ever imagine. If you think I'm excited about this topic, you're absolutely right. Right now, my pencil is burning up the page trying to get this information down on paper for you. The reason I'm so excited about this particular concept is that I've never seen it fail. Everyone I've ever come in contact with who has used this technique has made money with it. On top of that, almost no one uses it. So you'll gain another preemptive advantage over all your competitors. The technique I'm talking about is called a bump or an upsell. To use the bump or upsell, you simply choose a weekly or daily special and offer it to your customers at a discount. The catch is, you offer it only to those customers who have just purchased from you. The offer goes something like this. Thank you for shopping with us today. By the way, we're featuring a weekly sale of Screaming Blue Wham Blasters at a 15% discount. Would you be interested in one today? That's all there is to it. Depending on the popularity of the item and the amount of the discount, 5% to 30% of your paying customers will take you up on the offer. Not bad for virtually no effort and no additional expense. The upsell works because the hottest time to get someone to buy more from you is right at the point of sale. They've already got their wallet out. You've overcome any buying resistance. All you need to do to increase the amount of the sale is make them an attractive offer. This increase to your average sales amount can improve your profits every day, every month, and every year, from now until you stop doing business. 9. Lock in future profits with continuity sales. Continuity sales are an exceptional way of controlling cash flow and profits well into the future. Continuity sales are simply a contract to purchase products or services on an installment basis for a fixed period of time. Now that may sound complicated, but in practice it actually is not. The best example of a continuity sale is a magazine subscription. 12, 24, or 36 issues delivered each month for X amount of dollars. You own a dry cleaning business? How about an annual deal to clean 5 shirts or blouses per week for a set amount of money? You'll give a discount to get the business, but you'll lock down sales for months to come. You own a pizza parlor? How about a deal to deliver a pizza or many pizzas every Monday night during football season? Lock down those profits. Are you a CPA? Show your clients that by having you do a quarterly review, they can actually save thousands on their taxes. Their clients save money and you make money. You can structure payments for continuity sales on almost any basis, but I recommend that you go for complete payment up front. After all, the discount is based on a customer's commitment, and they'll feel a lot more committed when they have money on the line. 10. How to predetermine whether an ad will succeed. The best way to test any ad, or for that matter, any sales pitch, new product, or new marketing concept, is to survey your current customers. Now, I'm not talking about sophisticated, high-tech marketing surveys. What I mean is low-tech, down-and-dirty research where you call a dozen or so customers and get their opinions. Ask them to look at 2 ads and tell you which one would be more likely to make them buy from you. Find out why, make sure you plug that into any future ad. Or ask them what kind of products they're interested in. Why? Is there already a good one on the market? Who offers it? This type of in-the-trenches research can make you a fortune. It can also save you from wasting a fortune on lukewarm ads, concepts, or products. One final tip. Ask your customers if there's anything they use your product for other than what it was intended for. You may get lucky and discover an entirely new profit center that you never knew existed. 11. One of the best ways to get your message across with maximum impact is to accentuate the obvious. A lot of people look for something new and different to give their marketing that extra added something. But sometimes what you're really after is right under your nose. Here's an exceptional real-life example. An insurance sales manager noticed that one of his salespeople consistently outperformed every other salesperson in the company, but the sales manager couldn't figure out why. This high-performance salesperson worked the same hours, used the same company brochures and materials, and had a rather ordinary personality. One day, the sales manager asked if he could accompany this top performer on a sales call. He was determined to figure out exactly what made the difference. The next day, he went out on a sales call with the top performer. He sat and observed while the sales hotshot made his pitch. Standard company opening, standard presentation, standard emphasis of benefits, standard handout of company brochures and materials. Then came a slight deviation. Just before the standard company closed, this superior salesperson threw in a simple, unique wrinkle of his own. He looked the customer right in the eye, and in the most sincere tone you've ever heard, he told the customer, "And if anything should ever happen to you, you'll never have to worry. If you become disabled, we will make all of your payments for you." People couldn't wait to sign the form and give him their deposit. Even though this was a rider that was standard throughout the industry, no one else ever thought to mention it. Actually, it's because this rider was standard throughout the industry that insurance people failed to mention it. But you see, what was standard and commonplace to insurance industry people was completely unknown to the general public. This top sales performer was a master at emphasizing something obvious to close a tremendous volume of sales. Is there something obvious yet special about how your industry does business? Or something unique about the way you run your business? It may be obvious to you, but I assure you it isn't to your customers. Tell your customers precisely what you do that makes you different, that makes you special. It doesn't matter if everyone else does it too. If nobody accentuates it and you do, your customers will think that you're the first, and you'll gain a powerful advantage, just like our star insurance salesperson. 12. To accelerate sales, reverse the risk. Have you ever noticed how difficult some companies make it to do business with them? Or how their elaborate procedures make you feel like you're being screened to tell if you're a potential terrorist? Let me tell you, companies who treat their customers this way are killing tons of sales. To do business these days, it's imperative that you make your customers feel needed and appreciated. Why tell customers absolutely no refunds after 7 days? This puts all the risk and responsibility on your customer's shoulders. You can reverse the perception of that risk and communicate that you value your customers by restating that same message. How about, "We'll gladly refund the full purchase price for 7 days." I'm sure you see the difference, but I also want you to understand that a welcoming attitude can do so much for your business, while an attitude that puts your customers on the defensive can only damage your sales. Now, let's take this one step further. As you probably already know, I'm a great advocate of bending over backwards to treat your customers exactly how you'd like to be treated. To me, that's not only good business sense, it's just plain common sense. Yet most businesses fail dismally at doing this. What I want to do here is show you why it's extremely advantageous to your business to assume much more of the risk and treat your customers like royalty. First, let's look at what I mean by reversing the risk. Do you have a product or service that's of high quality? I hope you do, and if you don't, this is your number one problem to solve. If you do, then you should do everything you possibly can to proclaim that fact. Something like this. If you don't agree that our chocolate ecstasy is the finest dessert of its kind on the market, we'll refund your entire purchase price. If your tax returns aren't back in your hands within 4 days, it's free. And if there's ever a mistake, we pay the full difference. Can you see what a powerful selling tool this is? You begin to realize how you can easily position yourself head and shoulders above your competitors. Reversing the risk from your customers to yourself gives you ultimate credibility. And credibility is vital to making as many sales as possible. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Won't reversing the risk like this increase your requests for refunds? Most likely, it won't. And if it does, the increase will be slight. What does it really matter if you increase your refunds by a percent or two if you've increased your sales by 10 to 30%? If your product quality is good and you deliver what you promise, you'll have very few returns or refund requests. There's always the occasional cheat who will take advantage of you. But most people are more than happy to receive fair value for their hard-earned money. 13. Sampling. How to use it to build sales now and build future sales. This is one of my personal favorites. One of the reasons I like it the most is that it defies conventional logic. But because most businesses have rigid, conventional approaches to marketing, you can use it to blow the socks off your competition. I personally use this technique all the time. Sampling simply means giving away a sample of your product to make more sales. There's no finer way to demonstrate the value of your product than to give someone a hands-on opportunity to use it. Have you ever walked through a mall and had someone approach you outside a cookie shop with a tray of cookie pieces on toothpicks? That's sampling. The giant computer printer manufacturer Epson established its controlling foothold in the industry by sending hundreds of printers free of charge to key users in the industry. When they were ready to purchase large quantities of printers, they bought Epson. Why take a risk on some other unknown printer? Sampling can work wonders for your business, too. Get your product into your customer's hands. Offer a free month of your services to qualified prospects. You'll find that you get immediate sales and generate the kind of first-hand experience that results in future sales. 14. Setting profit-making priorities. Without fail, every prospective client that wants to hire me tells me that their key interest is getting more customers. Without fail, I try to make it clear to them that this limited perspective can have a severe impact on their profit. What you should really be interested in is making more sales, and that doesn't necessarily mean acquiring more new customers. So let's take a look at which marketing priorities can best support our goal of increasing sales and profit. For almost any business that's been around for 2 years or longer, your priorities should be 1. Generating more sales from your current customers. 2. Reactivating old customers. 3. Converting prospects to new customers. Please notice that I said this is the most profitable way to rank marketing tasks for ongoing businesses. If your company is less than 2 years old, you probably need to concentrate the majority of your efforts on acquiring new customers. But you should also devote significant time to repeat sales to your existing customer base. Back to the task at hand. The priorities I've just listed are based on producing the maximum sales and profits for the least amount of effort and expense. So let's take a look at how well each of these prioritized tasks performs. Generating more sales from your current customers is by far the surest, easiest route to take. The most difficult part of getting a new customer is overcoming their well-founded skepticism. That's why it often takes many contacts with your marketing before a prospect will make a purchase. Secondly, because you're fishing for qualified prospects, you have to put your message out to thousands of people who have no interest in what you have to sell. But you still have to pay to present your pitch to all of them, so prospecting can be quite costly. However, when you start to make repeat sales to existing customers, the number shifts dramatically in your favor. First off, there's no longer an issue of credibility. Your customers already know you and what a great job you do. Most likely, they'll be happy to do even more business with you. My clients find that when they make an offer to their existing customers, 10 to 30% of these customers buy from them. And better yet, they get these kind of results every month of the year. Secondly, the cost of marketing to existing customers is just a fraction of what it costs to market to prospects. You know exactly who your customers are and where to reach them, so there's no wasted expense. Before we move on to the next point, I'm going to reveal a powerful marketing secret to you. I call it Sterling's Rule of the Fractional Sale. A customer's first purchase rarely represents their full capacity to do business with you. In actuality, a first sale is a customer's fractional, limited test of your ability to deliver on your promise. What this rule means is that a first sale is just the tip of the iceberg. Once you've made it and satisfied your customer, the potential for more sales is enormous. All right, let's move on to the second priority, that of reactivating old customers. Here again, your expense is minimal because you know precisely who your old customers are. Where things change with old customers is in the area of credibility. But here there's good news too. Every business loses a few customers here and there because of problems. And with those customers, you may have a credibility problem. But with most businesses, the one factor most responsible for customer loss is the business's failure to keep in touch with the customer. And this problem is quite easy to overcome. Here's how I recommend dealing with both problems head on. Simply write a letter to all of your old customers telling them that you miss them and you'd like to do business with them again. Also, tell them that if your company did anything that may have caused them to quit doing business with you, please call you or a designated employee, and you'll see that the problem is corrected immediately. Then, offer them an attractive incentive to resume doing business with you. A discount, a gift, access to reserved products, and so on. You'll be pleasantly surprised at how effective this technique can be. Most customers never receive any attention whatsoever from the companies they do business with. Usually, all it takes to win an inactive customer back is the act of showing them a little courtesy and giving them an incentive to purchase again. Finally, your last priority should be acquiring new customers. I'm not suggesting that you neglect this area, just that you put it in proper perspective. For my money, the real purpose of getting a new customer is not for the profit from the first sale. It's for the opportunity to add another name to the list of customers you can sell to over and over again for many years to come. That's why I frequently advise clients to spend as much upfront as they can afford to acquire a new customer. Most of the time, it will even pay off in the future to break even or take a small upfront loss to acquire a new customer, because you know that the repeat sales later down the line will more than make up the cost. 15. Improve your offer, improve your profit. Surprisingly enough, many ads and sales letters never come out and directly state the offer. Instead, they stick it on the order coupon or just list a price. I've got to tell you, this is sheer idiocy. Customers care only about one thing when it comes to you, your product, and your company: what you can do for them and how this will make their lives better or easier. One of the best vehicles you have for showing your customers precisely what you can do for them is your offer. A good offer is really a summary of the most powerful benefits you deliver. Pharmacists, our computerized prescription filling machine will increase your productivity by 30%. It's a pretty decent offer.